My guest today in the studio right now is Sarah Routh. This is what she sounds like on her CD, and then we're going to talk for a bit and listen to some live tunes as well. This is Sarah Routh on Is Good on killradio.org. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and my guest is Sarah Routh. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So, what is this folk business all about? What is, do you define yourself as a folk artist?
Folk rock.
It's, folk rock.
There's so many different genres out there right now. Just whatever moves you. I mean, I started out really folky because when I started writing, I was listening to a lot of Joni Mitchell and Janis. And I mean, Janis is more rock, but like with the Joni Mitchell and Bob Dylan, I was just writing a story. And it was just kind of, there was no form to my song whatsoever. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I just liked the sound of it. So that's where I thought, okay, well, I'm a folk singer because I can play acoustic guitar and I don't have a band.
Is that, for in your mind, what defines folk music?
It's yeah,
sort of telling stories in a simple way?
Yeah, yeah. Not necessarily simple either. I mean, Bob, there's a lot of, it's whatever you want to make it
right.
as a listener. But, and then as I grew as a writer and in the music business, I just kind of, it morphed into this, I can play, you know, I would want to be up on stage with the Rolling Stones, you know, and they're rock, they're not folk,
mm-hmm.
you know. So once I start getting more dimensions to myself as far as a band, I think it'll tend to be more of a rock, but not a hard rock, metal rock, just Southern rock.
Hair metal, glam rock, none of that?
Yeah, that would be awesome. Maybe like for one show every
right,
5 years.
But
for
that,
me,
yeah.
I can't. I'm not that style. You
and
know?
Have you been kind of, I noticed on your MySpace page, your quote is just a girl on her guitar or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that, have you been kind of resisting adding those layers and putting together a band just to keep it your identity with the music?
Yes and no. I've it's so hard in this city to really find, I mean, there's a gabillion musicians out there that are wanting to be part of a band, but then you have to have really good energy with somebody and I just started writing with this guy out in New York. And so that's a new dimension to me.
Mm-hmm.
I have some projects that are out there right now that are just kind of coming together slowly, slowly. So, it's nothing that I've really been putting off. It's just the opportunity hasn't been there. And now there's a window and there's an opportunity and I'm meeting people. I mean, I've always met a lot of musicians and stuff, but people that are willing to play without being paid,
mm-hmm.
to practice without.
Yeah.
That's really hard, too. So.
And you're looking for a project that's a reflection of yourself. I mean, you're looking for a Sarah Routh and her band kind of thing.
Right, right. I mean, it's a team. I mean, it's always a team, but yes, my name's going to be in the front of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is another hard thing because we're all ego driven, but it's how we use our ego that makes us.
No, not
our
me.
Own
I'm
person.
Perfect. I'm sorry. my only flaw is modesty, frankly.
That's what a band is a team effort, you know, and it's not one person's better than the other one. All the influences come together and create that family. So I'm excited for the next step, you know. So
talk to me a little bit about vocalism. You mm-hmm. have a unique sound to your voice. It's very identifiable in a time where there are a lot of girl and guitar acts that sound very similar to each other. You think is there something that you do or something that you did when you were learning to sing that helped identify that sound?
I think thank you for that. I think that...
I'm just reading off the thing here. No, I'm kidding.
I think that when I was 4 or 5, I sang Jesus Loves Me at church, 3 or 4, I think, and we have it on tape. I would go to my parents' church choir practice and have nothing to do but just sit there and listen and mess around at church and get in trouble. And I was always wondering what that warble in the woman's voice was, mm-hmm. the vibrato. And so when I was young, I would imitate that warble. And so at a very early age, I had this huge voice with a vibrato. And so in middle school, or what do you call that? Junior high.
Prison.
Yeah, it was awful. I started taking voice lessons. And, I mean, how many junior high, 12, 13-year-old kids, they're taking, learning Brahms and Debussy and, all of these Mozart, singing in different languages just because I had this voice and I didn't know what to do with it. And I couldn't sing the normal. I could, but I sounded really odd. And I was always the one that stuck out in choir at school. And
but the taking of the lessons and everything, was that something that you as a kid really wanted to do?
I wanted to do, definitely. I mean, in my music's in our family. So my parents actually met in a jazz band.
Oh, really?
My dad was drumming and my mom was singing. So it's always been with us. So music was a part of my life forever. But as I, I went to college and I studied classical. I was an opera singer. And I still didn't really, I loved being on the stage and performing and being in front of everybody, but I didn't know where I was going to go next. Senior year in college, I started to write. I wrote my first song. I was like, holy crap, this is, I could do this. This is pretty cool. So I just kept going and found my voice and found my voice. And now I'm to the point where I really, just a couple days ago, I listened back at one of the recordings that I, a CD that I did in 2003. And it's changed so much. All of my songs have changed into different, a different feel, I love it. I love that we can continue to change. That's a really long answer for your short question.
No.
But
well, actually, it's a perfect segue to me asking you to play us a tune, and then we could talk about the writing process and how you learned to play guitar and all that good stuff.
Okay, cool. Well, this one, this song's called Hills of Gold. It's written by, it's written by me, but about Los Angeles. I was sitting in a coffee shop and just decided, and the words just started coming to me, and I had to get it out as fast as I could, and then it really was crappy. It didn't fit well, and so then a couple months later I rewrote it, and it's just kind of like the reality of Los Angeles, this city. There's so many.
How long have you been in Los Angeles?
It was 3 years in May.
Okay.
I moved from New York.
It seems like everybody, yourself excluded and myself excluded, it seems like everybody's either been here about a year and a half or their whole lives.
Right, exactly. There's no
something about LA, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's been the most amazing journey and trip. I'm so happy to be here, but at the time and I still believe these things every once in a while, but anyway.
Well, please play for us what LA means for you.
Okay.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and my guest is Sarah Routh.
Welcome to the land of sun, where dreams wrinkle like the skin from the star above. Trees soaring high in the smog-filled air, while below lies sugar-coated loneliness and despair. We make it here in the California hills, where the already stars whip out their big bills. Does our artistic struggle ever seem to end? Answer my questions in a bottle, the ones I'll soon send. Welcome to my home for today, where everyone here isn't here to stay. Fake how you doings and smiles quite cold. It's a wonder why we call it the hills of gold. I'm a brunette for only one day. Silicon Valley isn't any distance away. Tofu and soy and yoga a blend.
It's a wonder why we call it the Hills of Gold. Welcome to the land of sun, West Coast hills and wannabe stars. Take a trip down Sunset Boulevard. The guy on the corner makes living look hard. Welcome to my home for today, where everyone here isn't here to stay. Fake how you doings and smiles quite cold. It's a wonder why we call it the Hills of. It's a wonder why we call it the Hills.
Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome, John.
That was lovely. So what do you think it is? What about this LA of ours that, I'm trying to find the words for this. So it's so hard. It's almost like, because everybody seems to be drawn to, like you talk about the fake how you doings and things. Everybody seems to be drawn to the culture of LA. And yet we always talk about Los Angeles as not having any real culture, any specific definable culture, because we're all out here for our various reasons and we're all kind of segregated into our little neighborhoods. Not like New York, where you're constantly in the public and you're constantly exposed to different kinds of people all over.
Right. Well, out here, I just found it to be, everybody is so happy to help you out, but it's the follow through. Like when I lived in New York, they either helped you or they didn't help you. And they're just like, F you. I don't want to help you. I don't have time. Get out of my effing face. You know? So it's like, what do you... When I came here, I was so... Because Los Angeles has this... Let's go back. Okay? So I'm in Iowa. Should I move to...
Which is where you're from.
I'm from Iowa.
You grew up in
Iowa.
Yes.
Correct. And... Little town, Norwalk. Yay, Norwalk. Little town in Iowa. And nobody dream. I mean, you can dream of it, yes, but do they actually go forth and fulfill their dreams by moving to a bigger city, being New York, being Los Angeles, San Francisco, mm-hmm. Miami, wherever, or Europe? I was blessed to be able to travel to a lot when I was younger. So I felt the need for me to just take off. And I wasn't scared. I was ready for the experience. But in the back of your mind, you still have these pictures of what these towns, these cities are supposed to be about. And
sure.
then when they don't come true, it's like, oh, okay, well, then I can have another feeling. New York is not scary. I can walk down the street by myself. I'll just punch the guy with my mace or whatever, you know, which I never carry.
I always found New York to be... I always found New York to be, feel to me anyway, safer than
yeah,
LA
because of
all the people. You know, if you're
right.
walking down the street, you know, one of them may be a serial killer, but there's at least 10 other people right next to you who are going to be like,
stop him.
Don't
right.
chop that person up. Yeah.
Exactly.
And you pass one person on the street in LA.
There's only one person.
You know, what are you walking for?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's a beautiful city and the opportunities are plenty.
People wouldn't come here otherwise.
Right. But because there's that standard, that high standard of if you come to this city, you have to make it. You have to be an actor, you have to be a realtor, or you have to be in music. Somehow you have to be part of those three businesses. That's what I've learned out here. And if you don't...
Or drug trafficking,
right. Or filling the holes from Mexico.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you don't become part of that elite club mm-hmm. of a working actor, then you hear, oh, well, keep trying.
Yeah.
Keep doing it. Like, you fucking know.
Right. And you're constantly expected to... validate your existence. Oh, right. Oh, you're a musician? Where do you play? Do you have an album? You're an actor? What have you been in? Have I seen it? And you never, nobody does this with other professions, you know?
I mean, my favorite answer is when I say that I'm a musician, they're like, thank God you're not an actor. Well, so what? That's what they do. That's what they believe in. That's who they are. And so there's that overlaying. I mean, there's the smog that we have, this smog that's real. It's also metaphorically speaking for the energy. I mean, and everybody.
It's interesting.
The energy here is, so you have to be healthy. You have to have the perfect breasts. You have to have the perfect lips. You have to have. That was my biggest fear, because I'm not Baywatch babe on the outside. On the inside.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. You know, so. There's always that fear of not living up to expectations, but
yeah, there's a lot of distorted thinking out here.
Since I've lived here and I've experienced Los Angeles, I am who I am. I'm proud of who I am. I'm blessed. I just don't attach myself to any negative. You know, if I do, it's brief, and it's like you can't do anything about it. So let's just go on. And my gift is to help other people through either my music or just me as a person. I'm a giving person. I'm, you know, that's just our family. I'm grounded. And I believe that I was put here in LA not to, quote, make it, but to create this path, to create this, my destiny. We are all creating our destiny, you know.
And how is this realization, which is a pretty huge realization, I think, how has this affected your music, the way you write, what you write about?
You know, I haven't written any new songs in a while, except for one that I'll do for you, but it might not be too good because it's really new. But anyway, it's not a hindrance. I just need to refocus. I have so much stuff jumbled up in there right now, and I have little pieces of paper that I write like one line on, and then mm-hmm. I have to plug it all together. And like I said, you know, writing with Michael out in New York was amazing. He's my co-writer, and his name's Michael Gilbo. Little shout out for him.
No, that's good.
Anyway, it's I lost my train of thought. Keep going with the question.
Well, okay. talk to me about jumping into this and playing live. You've been playing live in... You have a gig tonight.
Yes, at the Cat Club.
Okay. And this, I assume, is one of what has been several other gigs that you've done since you moved out here.
Yeah, it's been quite amazing. I really just dove into it because when I was in New York, I didn't do any music in New York. I studied theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I told myself that the reason I'm moving out of New York is to start over and to do what I really want to do, and that's my music. So I just started going to a lot of open mics. Molly Malone's was a really good one for me to go to on Monday nights.
That place is great.
It really is fun. I mean, it's just because it's a bar. It's not like a venue where you can go and have coffee.
Was that like in the bar area of it, or the back room with all the
bar
bricks?
Area? Mm. Yeah, the big bands go in the back,
right?
But which was actually very funny because my second show ever was in the big back room,
cool,
in Molly Malone's, and it was me on this big stage. I don't know what I'm doing here.
So your first time playing live out here, was it a harrowing experience? Were you nervous?
I was nervous, but I was so excited. My first show was at Genghis Cohen, which is Melrose and Fairfax. And it was the perfect environment for what I was doing at the time, which was a lot of really, really singer-songwriter. Like, the songs were kind of long and mm-hmm. telling my story, and people needed to be relaxed. And I found it to be really good. And I had a lot of... I have great fans. I don't call them. I mean, they're not fans. They are fans, but they're my friends, and it just keeps growing. Every gig just keeps growing. And from one, I went to El Cid's in Silver Lake, and by happen chance, met some people and started going every Wednesday night when mm-hmm. they were having their big show. And then I got to know the guys a lot. And I was hanging out with these older rockers, like people who had played with the Stones or were currently playing with the Stones or Led Zeppelin or, you know, whatever. And that was my comfort zone because right. I was just hanging out with these 50, 60-year-old dudes that would just say, this is like my little kid, you know. Uh-huh. And then from there, I started sitting in. Like, I would play a couple songs during a break or whatever, and then they gave me my own set, and then they moved it to Zen Sushi, and it just kind of, from one place to another place, hey, I got this girl that I want you to come see. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with my personality. Honestly, I'm just kind of very open to every opportunity, and I'll play anywhere. One of my favorite gigs was playing at a hostel in Hollywood for two Japanese people.
Awesome.
They didn't understand a word I was saying.
And I bet they loved every second
of
it.
Yeah, but it was fun. They were like, yeah, 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 more and more. It was a lot of fun.
Could you play something for us?
Sure, sure. Okay. Let's see. We'll do, this is a song I wrote about a stripper that I met here.
All right. All right, so my guest is Sarah Routh, and you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Rosemary is a good dancer. She feels the music deep inside. You can see her if you want to. Black hair covering their eyes. She'll dance for you and make you soar to worlds unknown. Only gods can live there. She's making it by one thin thread. She wants to make it big, but where? Dance, Rosemary. The red light shines on you tonight. The stage is yours, so paint your moves. The canvas bare, all eyes on you. Do you really love what you do? Rosemary takes her paycheck and walks away to the watching eyes of lust and yearning. Her pot of gold is so far away. She must do what she must to get by today. Oh, dance, Rosemary. The red light shines on you tonight. The stage is yours, so paint your moves. The canvas bare, all eyes on you. Do you really love what you do? We toast to you tonight, Rosemary, and the beautiful girls like you, making dreams come true for others until all your future dreams come true. Until all your future dreams come true. Oh, dance, Rosemary. The red light shines on you tonight. The stage is yours, so paint your moves. The canvas bare, all eyes on you. Do you really love what you do? Do you really love what you do?
And that's Sarah Routh on Is Good and KillRadio.org.
Thank you very much.
And yes, we love what you do. I know that's not the song is about, but tell me about the way, the attention that your music gets.
Huh? Sorry.
Tell me about the attention that your music gets when you go out to play. What kind of response do you get from your audience members, aside from the two Japanese tourists you were telling me about?
Awesome.
Awesome. They just come up to you and say awesome.
Yeah. I've been to a lot of performances, and there's a lot of really great bands out there, but you have to command attention almost. It's not You know, once again,
yes.
there's a stage presence. It's a how you are on stage, how you interact with your fans. I talk to my audience just because I want them to feel like they're part of the song. And
so you mean like when you're singing, it's like you're singing directly to specific members of the audience?
Right, right. It's not
so you're not really in your own little world.
Right, and I hear people come back to me a couple of days later and they're like, I got that song running through my head. I get that, you know, and that doesn't really happen very much. Maybe it's because I just block it off, but like when I go see other bands, that doesn't happen to me. I just, because maybe I didn't connect with the song or I don't know. I don't know what it is. I guess I shouldn't. Anyway.
Well, no, I think what happens with a lot of musicians is they feel that they get the best performance when they're really concentrating on themselves.
Right.
And on the quality of, you know, how they're playing the guitar, how they're singing. And they're kind of up there in their own world. And the more they see themselves in their own world, the less nervous they are about being watched.
Right.
And in many cases, that's probably what works for them. But it sounds like you get so much out of your audience that kind of fuels your performance.
I totally feed off of them. When, you know, if they're badgering me, I love that. Because I feed off of it's a back and forth, you know, not comedy show, but it's, I want to hear the noises in the middle of the song. I want to, you know, I want them to clap if they
What's a Sarah Ralph badger? What would a badgering audience member?
Where's your jack, bitch? Cuz I like whiskey.
I see.
No, it's just, you know, or they'll yell out the name of a song that mm-hmm. they want to hear or something like that. And